morning, everybody. This is WTVR's Morning Drive. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I am honored and privileged, and I mean that very sincerely, to have with me today for our show, Christmas and New Year's, Bishop William Byrne. He is the bishop of, officially through the Vatican, he's the bishop of the city of the Diocese of Springfield. For this show, we have made him the bishop of Western Mass. We have no authority, but we do it anyhow. Bishop, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And the same to you and yours. It's been a rough week for all of us, hasn't it?
It has been. It's been a very tough week. A sad one to bid farewell to Jake. What a hero. What a hero.
An absolute hero. We're talking about Staff Sergeant Jacob Gallagher. He lost his life in a training accident. He was a member of the United States Air Force. The city of Pittsfield came together. Actually, the county, the city of Pittsfield sponsored so many of the county folks. Jake was a wonderful person. And Bishop, thank you for coming to his funeral services. And your blessing in the end, as we went out the door, I like the song, So This Is Christmas. And so I've been singing it probably louder than the Polish princess would like.
Yeah, I can imagine.
When she tells me, I say, call the bishop.
I don't know what song that is. Sing it for me.
So this is Christmas. Good fun and good cheer. The boys and the girls. And it goes on and on. It's you know who it is? John Lennon. He wrote it.
Oh yeah. Now that you say John Lennon, I recognize. Yep. But just a bit of Christmas advice, Bill.
Yes.
Don't give up your day job.
Oh yeah. I was on a show this morning and a guy said, "Are you going to sing with me?" I said, "If they do, they shut my mic off." I know I don't want to catch a play. What you said about at the end about Christmas and sing louder. Could you just kind of say that for folks? And I think there's still a lot of people.
It's something that I have said often, but it was, you know, it seems like such a horrible time to lose somebody so young and to so vibrant, so gifted, such a hero. But I reminded everyone that Jesus was born so that we would live forever. Right. So even if you don't feel like in the Christmas, I want you to sing those Christmas carols extra loud for Jake. Because he was a hero, but also we believe that he's with God. And Jesus was born so that Jake could live forever. And that's essentially the message. It's not just about, Jesus wasn't born so that we could, you know, eat a lot of sugar and drink too much and have some roast beef. No, he was born so that we could have eternal life.
Yeah.
So that he could bring us to Easter and the resurrection.
You know, and then we'll move on, but this funeral, the music, and I would suggest to anyone who's listening and would care, I've been to a lot of military funerals in my life, and Father Chris Malatesta, he's the pastor up at St. Agnes in Dalton, a lot of you know him, a lot of you may not, he gave a sermon that touched me very emotionally about life and living. He said Jacob lived the life above life, and it's in the Eagles a couple of days ago. You can get it. I don't know if online, but try. And Bishop, what a service, huh? I mean,
yeah.
Really.
Truly. Father Malatesta gave an absolutely inspired and beautiful homily, honoring Jake, but then also calling us to be above ourselves, to be better, and also to recognize that the way we get through moments is the only way that we can get through moments like this and all moments is through prayer. So I was so proud of Father Malatesta, Father Chris. And so if you're not sure what you're going to do for Christmas,
Yeah.
It's still not too late. I want you to drive on over to St. Agnes and listen to the amazing priests.
A truly amazing priest. And I say that. So listen.
And you know what I think was really remarkable about his ability to do that is it wasn't so long ago that he buried his own father.
Exactly.
Who was a state police trooper.
Yeah.
A state trooper. And so those, you know, who himself was a hero, it must have been bringing up those memories also at this time. So I was really honored to be there with him that day.
I don't want you to blush at me now, but I'm just going to say this. I was, and I think everybody there was honored to have you. And what I want to say to my audience was, the bishop drove up from Springfield. That's not that big a deal, but it kind of is. But he took a lesser role. I mean, I was kidding with him off air. I lost him in the trees. He wasn't sitting at the head of the altar. He came, he's a very humble man. He really is. But I said to the Polish princess, the bishop must have had to go back. I can't see him anywhere on the altar. And then I finally found him. He was in camouflage in the trees. But
there were a lot of flowers on the altar. So a thorn among the roses.
Oh, no, I don't think so. So it's Christmas time. And boy, it's going to be tough for them. My dad died on Thanksgiving. So obviously, what do we say? Every time Thanksgiving comes around, we think of dad.
Right.
My heart goes out to those kiddos at this Christmas time. And I would say to families, and if you're having a little bit of a ruffle tuffle with a member of your family, make up.
Right. Right.
Life's too short.
But also I think, you know, a lot of people in my family that have passed in that window between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
And I always feel like that it's a time of such great blessings that the Lord will call people home in a special way.
Yeah.
Because ultimately that's our destination. Our destination is to be with God and to know joy in this life, but eternal joy. And so even though it's hard for us on this side of things, we need to hand them over at this time and remember, oh, that's right. This is a time of blessing.
Yeah.
So it's hard, but it's not as hard for them.
Yeah. What to you, Bishop, and what does Christmas mean to you personally and your family?
Yeah, well, I think that the memories go back, and memories for me are not about the unwrapping the presents. I remember sitting next to my parents at midnight mass.
Yeah.
You know, staying up so late. And then as we got older, coming back and, you know, sitting by the tree and talking about the experience. And so it's that experience of into the silence of our world came the greatest light. Into the darkness came the great light, Jesus Christ. And so I was grateful. I mean, I had parents, my mom's still alive, but my parents went to Mass every single day. I thought that was normal. My two best friends, their dads, and still best friends today, their dads went to Mass every day. I was like, oh, that's what dads do.
My dad did too.
I grew up with that experience, and I think, what a sadness that kids grow up with no faith in their home, and Christmas is about presents. Because at the end of the day, that gets boring, but it's about the truest joy, the joy of being loved beyond all understanding. The love that is so powerful that you're worth dying for. Literally, you have been worth dying for. And you're so precious that God rose from the dead that he wants to be with you forever. That's where that message only comes from Jesus. And imagine if you don't know Jesus and you can't hear that truly.
I go back to when I was working with violent youthful offenders. And I would say, part of the orientation, I would meet with each. So what church do you go to? And almost universally, what church? What are you talking about? Yeah. I said, what religion are you? Oh, well, my grandmother and grandfather are Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian. And so that core is not there. I mean, I went to Catholic grammar school. That's what they called it then, not elementary. It was those things that were instilled in us then, I still carry now, maybe more so now than I've ever had.
Right.
I'm closer to the end, you know.
But even still, you know, it's like the sort of, you build your house on a firm foundation, and you can't be shocked if there's no foundation there that the house falls down. But it's never too late to shore up that foundation. It's never too late to, you know, look at the good thief on the cross, you know, who in 10 minutes found faith in God. You know, it's like he knew all the theology he needed because he was going to be in paradise that day. So,
well, you know, these times we've certainly commercialized it. There's no question about that. But I think there can be a fine mix as long as you always remember the real meaning. Fine to give gifts, fine to go shopping, fine to sit on Santa's lap. Of course, when I tried the other day, the police came.
Yeah. But they need paramedics, I would imagine, also.
Yeah, Santa said, no, fat boy, move along.
You know, the other week I was, Sheriff Bowler invited me to come up.
Yes, I was going to talk to you about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, at the jail. And I'm so grateful for his invitation.
Yeah.
And it's a really powerful experience, the mass that they had there. And I said to the men there, you know, that God can penetrate any razor wire, any fence, any wall, any cell, and he can even get through the hardest place to get to in our world, and that's our own hearts. If we just invite him in, you know, if we just say, hey, I'm a sinner in need of God's mercy, come, he's going to be there. And sometimes you see, you don't realize how blessed your Christmas until you're seeing a bunch of guys in jail, who will be not with their family.
No.
So don't pick a fight with your family.
No. And you know, through your ministry, and I know through my experience as a cop, and there are a lot of families that are broken. And my saintly Irish mother said, nothing comes before family. And no one else. Family's first. And fortunately, I my family is very cohesive, and we're going to all meet on the Polish side on Christmas Eve for Vigilia, and then on the Irish side on Christmas Day for roast beef. And they come from all over. I mean,
right.
It's sad at every Christmas recently in the past several years, someone hasn't been there anymore.
Right.
But that just makes the family stronger, I think.
Right. What a blessing that is. And I've met some of your family, and you know, they're wonderful people, and it's, and the reason they're wonderful people is because of that. It's not just the talents and gifts, which they have in abundance, but it's that they were nurtured and loved. And that message goes to the very core. And I think if you're going to give somebody a gift this Christmas, maybe that's the best gift to give.
I will say this, Bishop, and I mean it from my experience, anecdotally, as all the scholars say, 80 to 85% of the violent youthful offenders that I dealt with, they didn't have family. Or if they had family, they weren't role models.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially, I think, the experience of a father.
Yeah.
You know, you can't replicate. I mean, that, and it's not saying anything against single mothers who are both mother and father. I'm not making any comment on that. But
no, I know exactly what you're saying.
Encouraging the guys to step up.
Yeah.
You know?
So people will be spending their Christmas with their families, hopefully. And how will you be spending yours?
So I will have, you know, I work on Christmas. So
I know. I have, part of the job.
I have some very good friends, a buddy from grade school and another buddy from college, who are, and their parents have passed. So they're, it's nice. They're going to come up and we've been friends forever. We've done this. And they'll be in for a couple of days and that'll be fun.
And I'm happy for you because I did know a priest. He was an older man, and he was about, I think he used to be a lot taller, but he was in his 80s. He was like 5 foot, 6 or 7. If he weighed 120 pounds, that meant he had a roll of quarters in his pocket. And he would spend Christmas, but he said, no, I'm with Jesus. I'm not alone.
Right.
And he always remembered that. And I was a young altar boy, you know.
Yeah. So, I'm blessed. I have, because travel at this Christmas time is hard. Oh. And so I could go back. My family's all in Washington. So it's these having these pals roll in and have a nice time will be great.
Oh, that's cool. And let's go back one more time. Let's take our hats off to Senator Markey, Senator Warren, and Congressman Neal for attending Sergeant Gallagher's funeral.
Absolutely.
It's my understanding that the senators had to fly up that morning, attend the funeral, and fly back that same day because of votes of the Senate. But that just goes to show you, and all of our state representatives were there. It was such a tribute to the show.
I agree, but as much as I think it's great to give them adulation, I think for them, for me, it was a privilege and an honor to be there. It wasn't any privilege, a gift that I gave anybody. It was an honor to be with a fallen hero,
right?
And to commend him to the Lord. So it's one of those things where, well, where else would I be? That was the most important place on the earth to be right there at that moment. So, you know, Congressman Neal is so good and is so generous in being present here in Western Massachusetts that when I saw him, I wasn't one bit surprised.
No, me either. Congressman Neal always gives to the I used to work on Capitol Hill many years ago. I was assigned there, and I was going to tell you, he's one of the rare ones that he never forgot where he came from.
No,
never. So, what's up for next year? What's ahead?
Well, we've got a lot going on. We've got one thing we've got going on is we're doing a capital campaign across the diocese. Different parishes are in different phases. Yep. The main goal of the $28 million that we want to raise, 50% is going right back to the parishes, directly to the parishes. And then in addition to that, another pile of money is being set aside for parish evangelization projects. So let's say a parish says, oh, we want to put together a youth room, or we want to start this men's group or this women's group, but we don't really have the funds. We would give them grants. So the money is intended for the parishes. You know, everything. I was a pastor for 26 years before I was made a bishop. And I know that's the place where things happen. And that's the place where we need, they don't happen in an office in the middle of you know, Springfield. They happen in parishes. And so the whole goal of the Capital Campaign, in addition to helping Catholic education and retired priests and funding for our seminarian education, the emphasis is strongly to build up the parishes to help, you know, you look at a beautiful place like St. Joseph's or, you know, even a newer place like St. Agnes, they have ongoing physical capital needs to roofs and windows and heating and all that kind of stuff that you need to keep going so that the place is a beautiful experience to worship God.
And you're, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
say that. No.
You're so right. You know, so many of our parish, especially here in Western Mass, you know, they need work. I mean, I understand there's a big project going to be taking place at St. Joe's. I know there's some things going on at St. Charles. And so I just, at this time of the year, and let me do it, if you have, you want to make a gift, make it, and the bishop will tell you, you can send it to the send it to Bishop Byrne to give you the address.
And they'll be hearing about it. You'll be hearing all about it in the when it's your parish's turn. We're sort of doing it in three phases. We're finishing up phase one, and then phase two will start in January. And so you'll be hearing about it. So don't worry. You don't. This isn't the only announcement being made.
Oh, In addition to that,
we've got a lot of very exciting stuff. You know, the youth conference that happened here where we have 1,500 kids.
Yes.
All scheduled for the summer.
Oh, wonderful.
And we had a great turnout. I'd love to even build that even more. And so God's good. God is very good here to us.
As the world unfolds, I mean, I think we're in some dangerous and times where, in my lifetime, probably some of the most tenuous times in the world. And I would hope we'd start seeing people return to the church.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the answers that the world is giving and it doesn't seem very hopeful. But you listen to the message that has existed since Jesus himself. You know, empires have risen and fallen in those times.
Yes.
Kings and reichs and czars and Caesars have come and gone. And we see, you know, in the world, you know, this continual process of almost collapsing in a way of things. And then you look and you say, wait a second, the one thing that has not, that has perdured through it all has been the church.
Yeah.
Unchanged in preaching the message. You know, our man, Pope Francis, continues in his own unique way to bring people to God. And so we each have to make a decision where we're going to find our truth. And our truth is his truth, the truth of Jesus Christ.
And on this Christmas day, for all the people that are out there, some people, Christmas isn't a good time for them.
No.
And as a former police officer, a corrections administrator, these were dangerous times and sad times. As I alluded to in the beginning, family disputes on Christmas Eve. Yeah, when I was a young cat, I couldn't fathom that. In my house, Christmas Eve, and in my, you know, the Polish princess's house, they were joyous times. But I came to realize that you and I were raised in different households than many people. So what words of encouragement, if I may ask you, for people that are not fully appreciating what Christmas is?
Yeah, I have a one of those magnetic stickers in the back of my car. You see them all over, but it says, keep Christ in Christmas.
Yeah.
And without it, then it's just a bunch of commercial expectations that are always going to disappoint. So, you know, you look at the you look at the Christmas movies, and you know, the princess falls in love with the prince or whatever, and they live happily ever after. Well, that's not reality. People don't suddenly, you know, move to another country and fall in love with a prince and become the head of state of a country. If you're in, you know, life is more about waking up and making sure we can get it done. And so if your expectation is this sort of a commercial, I'll find my joy in the present or in the, but you're not going to find that. So you got to put Jesus back in the manger.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, if you are centered in the right stuff, you're not going to pick the wrong fight.
That's really good. That's a wonderful saying. Yeah. If you're centered in the right stuff, you're not going to pick the wrong fight. You should look at this bishop thing for a career.
So maybe I will take it up. Yeah. And then you can be my professional singer and we'll take the show on.
Yeah, it'll be a short career, I'll guarantee you. But, you know, and again, one of the reasons I was so happy to have you agree to do Christmas and New Year's is because of, yes, we need to refocus. Coming from you means more than me telling people. My life story, my coming together, my belief system, but also those people that suffer through these times. I did a show this morning. We said we're going to do the whole show. It's a crazy Christmas show. We do it every year. I'll get you a link, and when you can't sleep at night, watch it. It'll put you to sleep. But we have to be joyous, lift up. The Prince of Peace, the light of the world, is here.
Right. Well, you said something a minute ago that I want to dispute. You said, oh, it means more coming from me than it does coming from you. And I would have to say, my job is to preach to you, is to feed people so that you can go out to your world. Do you know what I mean? The wisdom of a good man who's a man of prayer with his kids and grandkids and his nieces and nephews, that's as powerful as 100 bishops. So in a certain sense, each of us in our own way, I'm not in your, you know, dining room. I'm not in your family room. I'm not in your law office or the radio or wherever. That's where you are. And so that's the, there's a responsibility that comes from that. I preach to you, but you also have to then represent Jesus in the world. So it's the job of all men and women of goodwill to bring that message of peace to the world that needs it so desperately.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, it's been a long time since I think the world's been this topsy-turvy and unsettled, totally unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go through this place. Now the supply chain, everything's going to be more. And my heart always goes out to the people, you know, an aside story at this time. One of the cable TV companies went to charging so much for every box you've had in your house rather than the house fee. And we went to a public hearing. And I'll never forget this old lady, my age, stood up and said, you know, to the people, to the representing the cable company, $7, excuse me, may not seem like a lot to you, but to me, it's a copay of a medicine. It's $7 worth of groceries. It could be a cab ride to the doctor's office.
Mm.
Boy, that I thought, have I become that coarse that I didn't? I blew $7 off, but she brought it right back home.
Right, exactly. But to that end, you know, people when they come and they say, oh, I feel like the world was falling apart, that I'm so anxious. You know, I read and I said, you know what you do? Turn your TV off. Because part of it is the world's been crazy from the very beginning, since the Adam and Eve took a bite of that fruit in the garden of Eden. Everything has been crazy. Now we just look at it all the time on our television sets, and it just causes anxiety and doesn't improve it in any way. So I skim the headlines, but I don't, I have to turn it off because it just gets too much.
I have a commitment, no TV at certain hours of the day. Because when you're retired, you sometimes put it on as an entertainment or a background noise or something. And you're right. You get wired and for what?
Right.
For what? I there's this thing. I have it on, I think it's Padre Pio. It's on, don't tell anybody, it's on a refrigerator. It says, don't worry, pray.
Yeah. No, it says pray, hope, don't worry.
Yeah. Something like, yeah. So I spend a lot of time in a refrigerator.
So the key is, I think if you pray, then you have hope. And if you really, truly have hope, then you won't worry.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a three-step process. He's not saying, no, don't worry. Well, we worry. But if you pray, then you have enough hope that you say, okay, those worries subside.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna take a quick break, folks. People just tuning in, I'm really honored and privileged this Christmas morning. And this, and by the way, we're gonna repeat this on New Year's Day. I have with me Bishop William Byrne. He is the bishop of, the Pope made him Bishop of Springfield. This program has made him Bishop of Western Mass. With all our ecclesiastical powers that we have here. But I also want to let people know that when we were in going through, all of us, especially veterans, when we were burying a young Staff Sergeant Jacob Gallagher this week, the bishop came. And not as a bishop, not a big deal. He came in. And then he disappeared into the altar, into the Christmas festivity and whatever. And helped bring us all together and trying to fathom what happened. And I will never forget the bishop for that. And I will never forget Father Chris Malatesta for his sermon. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back. Merry Christmas to everybody. Please stay tuned, and if you're recovering from overindulging on New Year's Eve, I learned a long time ago that there's no way in the world you can drink $75 worth of beer in one night, because that used to be the parties they had here, Bishop. A meal and free beer. Well, hello. We'll be right back. WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Simulcasting on PCTV. We'll be right back. 1 minute.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I have with me today, I am honored and privileged, and I mean this sincerely, it's Christmas Day. How many people can say, I'm spending Christmas Day with the bishop? You all can, because here he is, the Bishop of Springfield, Bishop William Byrne. Bishop, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. You How you've been here how long now?
Well, first of all, happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and to all the listeners.
Thank you.
I've been here just a little over 3 years.
Wow.
It's been flown by. And when I think back to that very first interview in the middle of COVID, when I first arrived to now, boy, it's been quite a journey. And you always say, when you say I'm the Bishop of Springfield, that includes all of Western Massachusetts. So to be clear,
I'm the Bishop
of Pittsfield as much as I am the city of Springfield. So,
and I must say this, and this isn't a slight on anybody else, you probably spend more time in Western Mass, Pittsfield, in the other communities out here than some of the other bishops. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know, but I love it up there. And so whenever I get a chance or they invite me up, I jump in my car. I think when I make that drive, I think people come on vacation to make this drive, and I do it for my job.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bishop, just tell us who always is with you.
I've got my dog, Zelly. She's right here next to me, actually snoring, and it has nothing to do with your show. But she's the Episcopup, my black Labrador retriever, who comes with me to all the parishes and all the events.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
She was just at the Berkshire Jail.
Yeah, and I want to explore that a little bit more with people. I had Sheriff Bowler on just last week.
Okay.
And he's
a good man.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He's in tune with rehab, punishment, and the differential.
Right.
You know, he's a great guy. I would never tell him. How wonderful of you to do that. What did you get out of going to that mass?
Presenting
that mass?
You know, for me, it's one of those things where I wouldn't have been anywhere else in the world. This was a 24-year-old guy who gave his life for our country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like freedom isn't free. Yeah. And it has a price, and it has a price of heroes. And so to be there, to be able to give the mom and dad a hug, his wife Ivy, those precious children. It was incredible honor for me to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought so much soothing, and maybe that's not the word, and I don't mean it to be offensive. I mean it to be, you know, congratulatory. The peace to them. We watched you. And when I look at that family and that, what is it, 9-week-old baby or 19 weeks old, it has to touch your heart.
Right. And what is, you know, a blessing for me is that I really believe in the resurrection. And so as tragic as it seems from our perspective, I know that that there's something bigger at work, and I trust in that, even though I don't understand it. And so, in a real way, like I said at the funeral, Jesus was born at Christmas so that we could live with him forever, and that's what I tried to bring, and I try to bring. Is that deep, powerful sense of hope and peace.
And the other thing that I don't know, it struck me, the Air Force personnel that were there, their youth, their vigor, their attentiveness to every need of the family, it made me proud to be an American.
Right. Exactly. And in these days where you read about our political parties, it was great to see our politicians there, you know, at every single level, from the senators to Congressman Neal down to the local reps, each of them there to honor this fallen hero. And there were not just enlisted men and women, but there was a 2-star and a 3-star general.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I pointed to the Polish princess, the lady standing in the procession there. I said, that's a two-star general right there.
Right.
For a sergeant. And, you know, that's a tribute to the kiddo, to the family, to America.
And it's also, you know, when I was the pastor on St. Peter's on Capitol Hill, in the parish where I was, St. Peter's, the Marine barracks was there. So the commandant of the Marine Corps lived in the parish, and the Navy Yard was there. So the chief of naval operations, the head of the Navy, were also lived in the parish. And at the time, I remember it was common to see both of them, in particular General Dunford, who went on to become chairman of the Joint Chiefs, at Mass. And they would be kneeling, and you'd see a young soldier or seaman come in, and they'd be kneeling, they'd look over and then realize that they were kneeling next to the biggest, their biggest honcho.
Yeah, was right there.
But they're both equal before God. And I thought, that's who we need running our military, our men and women of faith.
Yeah, exactly. Running our government in elected offices too.
Exactly. I agree completely.
We go into the new year. What advice can you share with us on the religious, but also the secular end? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but to me, I need, and a lot of other people out here, we need something. And do you have any advice?
Yeah. So this is taking my lead, and I've been thinking about what my New Year's resolution, and, you know, of course, I'm going to try and be skinnier next year and all that
stuff.
But my real resolution is, you know, Pope Francis called for a synod, an international synod. The whole goal of the synod is to learn how to listen to each other. So my New Year's resolution is to talk less and listen more. So I'm going to talk less and listen more to the people. I'm going to talk less and listen more to God, to Jesus. So that's my New Year's resolution, is to talk less, which is, I'd be easier for me to give up cookies than to give up talking, but I'm going to set my prayers on that goal for my resolution. Talk less, listen more.
Going back to me saying to the Irish mother, she used to say, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. Think about it.
That's a great line.
Yeah. I think we need to listen to people. I even found working to pick up on that just a little bit, working with the violent youthful offenders, I would have groups and I would just sit there. And one time, I responded to a kiddo who was going through some stuff. And he said, you're the only person that's ever listened to me. And I said, other people have listened. He said, no, you listened. Then you gave me, he didn't say advice. I can't remember what he said, but it was, you listened and then you didn't. He said, and then he gave me some examples. He gave me some examples, and some were, I'd be telling my guidance counselor, and halfway through, they'd cut me off and say, yep, bye, 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 bye. And I hadn't finished.
Right.
And so I think that's good advice for all of us. We need to listen and really listen.
Right.
There's a difference between hearing and listening.
Exactly. Because hearing, what I think is the analogy is, and I think about this in terms of God. So in prayer, so if you were to take a mason jar and the lid was on it and you dumped it in the bucket of water, you pulled it out, the jar is wet. You take the lid off, dump it in the bucket, and the jar is full. So the question is do we just get wet? Or do we get full?
Okay.
And so really listening versus hearing. Hearing is getting wet.
Yeah.
Listening is getting full. And so that's why we have to start really, you know, listening, to take some time, you know, maybe just do a little bit of the Bible every single day. You don't have to be Catholic. You can, you know, if you're Jewish, start at the front end. That's the, that's your book. And if you're Christian, start everywhere, but start it. And do a little bit every day and just see what jumps out. Because what jumps out is what God's asking you to hear and listen.
You're so right. And I have tried for many years to start my day with some kind of a reading. You know, I'm not, believe me, I'm my feet are certainly made of clay. Sometimes I think they're made of Play-Doh, but it does give you a different slant. And I think if people, you know, we were, for those people just joining us, we've been discussing a lot of things. Bishop, is so wonderful to be here doing this show for Christmas Day and New Year's Day. I can't thank him enough. But, and we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll do that towards the end. But I just wanted to say, too, Bishop gave some wonderful advice earlier in the show. And that advice is pretty simple. Shut off the TV. Read. You know, that's another thing. My father, and we didn't have a lot of money, believe me, growing up. But my father bought the Springfield Union newspaper and bought the Boston Globe because he thought we should have a wider view of the world than just the Berkshire Eagle.
Right.
And you know, I think we need to do that. And we need to get out of ourselves and find out. And this is the Christmas time and the Christmas spirit. It is, for Christians, the birth of Christ, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace. And Bishop has come on. And if we can just continue to stay focused on those two things, light of the world, Prince of Peace, make that our resolution. My resolution this year is to give up cauliflower and beets.
God bless you.
I know. I
struggle for you, but.
You don't have any clue, really and truly. Bishop, what? We got about 5 minutes left with you. Anything you want to get across before we go?
Yeah, I think I just want to, first of all, I want everyone to have the various merriest Christmas, and may the new year be filled with blessings. But blessings are not just paths of something that we just wait around to happen, but we actually take opportunities and turn them into blessings. You know, I think of a dear friend of mine who was years ago diagnosed with cancer, and she survived it. And she said, you know, after what I learned about love and about family and about all different types of things, she said, I'd have that cancer again because I know more about it now. What she did, she took this horrible experience in her life and turned it into an opportunity to learn and to love, turned it into wisdom and turned it into grace, allowed God to do that in her life. And I think if we look at the new year and look at the challenges that it brings, not just the opportunities, but to the challenges it brings, and look at them as opportunities to grow and to love and to be wise, then the devil can't get the better of us. So we got to know love so that we can share love. And sometimes we have to take the lemon and turn it into lemonade.
Well, there's and right now in this world, Father Monsanto, every at the closure of every mass at Sacred Heart, we say a Hail Mary for peace. And boy, I think if all of us every day in our own way, whatever your prayer life is, just say a short prayer for peace in this crazy, 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 crazy world. Maybe, just maybe, we'd see peace.
Yeah.
You know, one last thing before you go. You do some other, because I want people to stay connected with the bishop. I have to bribe Mark, his number one guy, Mark DuPont, who I couldn't exist without him. I have to send him nice stuff like cookies and stuff so he'll get me on the bishop's schedule. Tell him, don't eat those last group of Girl Scout cookies. They're 12 years old. You do YouTube.
I have mostly on Instagram these days.
Okay.
I want to do some more YouTube, but it's Bishop W. Byrne on YouTube. So we have these daily, not daily, but, you know, times a week shorts where it's just a little 30-second message to on the saint or something of the day on the reading. It's just a little thought for the day. If you do Instagram, keep an eye on that. They also play on our Facebook page, the Diocese of Springfield Facebook page. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, I lost you on Instagram. I'm glad I found that out that you're on Instagram. I lost you on YouTube because I used to watch the YouTubes.
Yeah, we're going to do more of those this year. I'm going to talk to our friend Mark DuPont so that we can start getting up some good ideas. All right.
Bishop, I can't thank you enough. I wish you the very... Would you give us a blessing before you go?
Dear Lord, let's send your blessing upon all those who are listening and to our loved ones, to our family and friends. May this time of seasons be a season where we grow in your love, where we grow in sharing that love, and where we grow in knowing you who are the source of joy. And may this Christmas be blessed and this new year be filled with prosperity and joy. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Bishop William Byrne, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and also a happy, healthy, healthy and prosperous new year. And I look forward to our talks once a month in the all through the next year.
God bless you, Bill. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. And to my listening audience, Bishop Pastor Ron, thanks so much, Bishop. I really do appreciate you doing this. It means a lot to the people out here.
Great to be with you.
Great being here. And thank Mark and Merry Christmas to Mark and his family. Folks, I'm going to a couple of things before the Bishop has to go. I just want to say that as we go into this new year, let's do it with a nice, brisk step. With forgiveness in our hearts and looking to the future to make things better. We had an earlier show we did on the Friday before Christmas. It was a crazy show with Peter Marchetti and Peter White and Andy Kelly and everybody. But we all decided, let it be uplifting. There's enough negativity in the world. We shouldn't be negative. Let's us put forth and step out and try to make this world a brighter place, a happier place, and a safer place. From me to all of you, as you know, I do this every day. God bless. And today and every day, let's try to take care of each other. Think about it. Each other, that's all we have in this world is each other. Bishop, be well, my good friend.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Keep on, keep on.